Hey everyone, it's Sonia here. Welcome back to the I Am Show. I am so grateful that you have joined us once again, that you have carved out a few minutes of your day for yourself, whatever that looks like. And I'm very, very, very excited today. We are doing another heart to heart. So if you're new to this, a heart to heart means there will be a video component up on my YouTube channel, and you can see Amy's beautiful face. The other side is, if you come across this, that's exactly what heart to heart means. So there's an audio component and a video component. Please, as we go through today, don't forget to make your favorite screenshots, send them in, because you'll be entered in for our December draw. And I am giving away a quarterly planner already for January. It's a undated quarterly planner. Called, I use mine all the time, so I'm just getting to the front of it. Called Design Your Life Your Way. Again, these can be found on Amazon, but you're going to absolutely love, 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 love this planner. So do yourself a favor and do a screenshot of your favorite takeaway or as we're going through it and add it to the comments. Tag me, hashtag ask Sonia, or definitely email me at soniadenise@gmail.com. Amy, are you ready?
I am. I'm so excited, and I love a good planner, so that's exciting.
It is very exciting. There's actually, the first bit, there's goal planning and goal setting that comes with it. And this comes with every day where you
Nice.
can see it's like your gratitude's in that for the day. And then literally your day, your planner, unplanned. So I'm so excited. Plus a plain sheet. So there we go. Give myself a selfish little plug. But guys, let's welcome Amy to the show. Amy, please take a few minutes to introduce yourself.
Oh, well, I'm so excited. You know what? I just have to say, a planner with no dates in it is the way. It allows you for like just to have those mistakes, to release shame and guilt if you miss a day. And there's so many of us that are driven by perfection that if we miss a day, we'll stop doing the journal altogether. And so I love a planner with no dates on it.
No dates, no months, no years,
Oh,
nothing. Nothing,
so
even
good.
when you do your goal planning, put it in. Yeah.
So good, so good. Okay, so I'm Amy Lenius, like you said, and I am here because I go on podcasts in the name and the face of Next Level University. So I partner with a company that is dedicated to personal development, holistic self-improvement for the sake of whatever your individual version of success is. And it was founded by two guys. We were just talking about Kevin and Alan. So Kevin, you've had on your show. And so he's the CSO, the Chief Sales Officer, and he's our Mr. Podcast. So he runs the product or podcast production side of everything. He coaches on podcasting. We have group coaching on podcasting. We have a lot of fun with our podcasters. And Alan is our CEO and co-founder of NLU. And I came in initially as a client. I loved everything they were doing. I loved going to the free book club, the monthly master classes. And then I started working with them as a paid client. They were helping me with my podcast at the time. And I was coaching with Alan. And I had a business that was dedicated to women's health and holistic healing for your hormones. And I did a lot of public speaking in that space. And I sent Alan my keynote one day. And he loved it. He's a public speaker, so I wanted his feedback as well. And he loved it. And he asked, "Hey, would you like to come down and MC our live event for us? We do it once a year, get people together and have a full day of personal development, success, and all the great things." I was like, "Oh my gosh, I would love that. I've never spoken in that kind of arena, so I would love that kind of space and that challenge." And everything just proliferated from there. Alan and I started doing trainings together. We started implementing me as a assistant coach and group coaching. Now I'm the director of that department. I have my own coaching program through them. And it's just been this wonderful partnership and such aligned, space for the work I was already doing to come into a company that was created by genuinely just these heart-driven couple of bros, these very integrous men who were collecting a community of heart-driven women. And so to come in and be this female presence in their space has just been such an honor and a gift. And they have done nothing but highlight my own work and expand my own knowledge. So I've just been so grateful. So that's a little bit about what I currently do.
Well, before we go too far, I want to say congratulations on the evolution. Sometimes we desire that when we start working with a company, we're like, oh, I want to be like them. I want to mimic them. I want to grow like them. But to be able to collaborate and expand on your own journey as you are representing them is amazing. It is amazing. A lot of companies wouldn't let you do that, right? And like you said, that is something you'd be grateful for. Guys, Kevin's episode with me is episode 144. I did a quick search and I found it. So the title
Awesome.
was Refocus and Rewire. So this one would have been done, believe it or not, in 2023.
Oh, awesome.
So time passes, right? Did you know Kevin in 2023?
Yeah, I started with them in 2022.
Okay. Okay. So again, a cool start, a cool journey. And what do you say your focus is on women who are in their 50s or going through hormone changes? What general advice would you like to share with based on what you've learned? And I know as a health coach that there is no general advice really, but yet there is. There's things like you said, not to get in your head when you're checking things off and giving yourself grace. So what advice would you give to that demographic?
Oh, that just everything you're going through is valid. If you're
Yep.
having those hormonal changes and the ups and downs, the highs and lows, and maybe you're being gaslit by certain professionals who are saying, oh, no, it's not, you just need to get out and walk more, or you need, and again, insert thing they tell you here. In reality, you are going through a pretty amazing and natural but intense change. And a lot of things change in that season for women. We become very, very certain in the things that work for us, very certain in the things that work don't for us. And we actually start becoming an empowered woman in that phase who wants to fight for those things rather than likes to appease.
I like that. Yeah. And there's so much truth to that. And I think it can start at any age. I see some of that in my friends, but I definitely see some of that in myself. The
Absolutely.
certainty, the confidence, the shedding. And that's the word that comes to mind is shedding the prior life that you had up until this point.
Absolutely. Yeah, women go through three major phases in their life, right? There's childhood, and then there's adolescence into all of your fertility years. And then there's when you're done your cycling years and you just are who you are, and you can have so much more time, energy, effort, and capacity, I feel like is the best word there, capacity to expand who you truly are. But you have the certainty and wisdom of years to really take that on without outside projection, without trying to appease and people please and things. But the physical aspect of it, the hormone changes themselves can start as young as 35. But we're just not in tune enough to it to really see it until it gets extreme. So I'm pushing 40 myself, and I, because I'm so in tune with my hormones, because my interest in that comes from being so sick growing up. I grew up with a hormonal condition called endometriosis. And so I'm so in tune with my hormones and when they're regulated, when they're not, and what I need to do to keep them in check, to keep me pain-free, to keep me from feeling sick. And so I can already tell that I have a lot of different shifts happening because the things that I normally do for a regular, healthy cycling body is not working the same as it used to. And so I have to adjust and use different herbs, different things, different intentions, even just for the season I'm in now.
First thing that comes to mind is, isn't it interesting how we think there's something wrong with us?
Instantly.
First thing that came to mind, as I have this right here, right? For those that can't, for those that are listening, it's a small little sign that says you are enough. And I find that compounds in these years. Talk to us about the Again, shedding comes to mind. I feel like we are shedding the non-truths so we can make room for the truths. But I would love to hear your insight on that.
There's a natural process that happens, but if you can do it intentionally, it's like a superpower that's going to serve you through the years. And so if you can develop things like self-respect, like self-worth, self-belief, and tie those into the intention of these physical changes, it's amazing what you can compound over time as far as feeling empowered, feeling certainty, feeling again that worth, that abundance, that empowered state, rather than just going with the motions and having the highs and lows. It's an intention versus reaction, right? It's going to happen anyways, but if you can do it intentionally and leverage all the things that are happening, as well as understand what's happening so you can support yourself rather than just being reactive all the time, it's a superpower that you can develop to take yourself through this time.
What I heard you say that I want the audience to hear is that whether you're 35 or 50, it's not too late to start.
No, never.
This is actually like the one of the perfect times to lean into getting to know you and who you are.
Yes.
So don't have that thought about you're late or you're behind. You're never late. You're always on time. And not everybody around you believes that. Not everybody in your work circle or even at your church group believes that, but there is a full community of people that do completely believe that you are never late and you are always on time. So starting this information, starting to learn who you are and dig deep and having that sensation of, oh, I want to be alone. And it's because whether you're sitting there staring into space, or you're taking a nap or an extra 5 minutes in the shower because the water suddenly feels different. Right? I see you nodding your head, Amy. Go ahead, expand on that for us.
I love those awareness moments of self-care, of intentional moments of, you know what, I'm going to spend an extra 5 minutes in the shower because I can, because I want to, because it's going to be a moment for myself. That's something that I took from what I was doing before NLU into now always, is asking women to ask themselves constantly, what do I need in this moment? And in that moment, maybe you needed 5 extra minutes in the shower, because whether you're 50 or 35, maybe you have, I mean, not maybe, women always have so much going on. But what I love about aging women is that your window of tolerance, your capacity starts to expand towards yourself more, because you don't have as much time being demanded on you for others, like children. Let's say your children are older, they're a little more self-sufficient potentially at this age. And I know everyone's different, I'm generalizing a little bit here, but it's what do I need in this moment? And it's really, really important in both seasons of life, because if you're serving others and it's motherhood and pets and household and all the things, it's like, okay, I can't serve those to the best of my ability if I am not at the best of my ability. And so we love being martyrs. We love self-sacrificing. No, I don't need to go have a glass of water yet. No, I don't need to, you know, have a shower today. I don't need to do XYZ. But in reality, you taking those minutes to do those things actually allows you to serve up, serve. Show up better is what I'm trying to say there. Instead of, it's that constant, I'm giving what's left of me versus I'm intentionally giving what's best of me by pouring into myself when I need to.
And I want to expand on this because at every age, you know, there's a 79-year-old couple I know, and she's still running around frantic, feeling like everything is on her. It's the age and the stage, right? And the generation and the way she was growing up, where he's doing his best to heal. He's not as healthy as he used to be. His life looks completely different. And I have made multiple recommendations about journaling and meditation, but neither one of them are up her alley. But yet she's so frantic, she's spinning herself out. And it's hard to witness. And that's kind of my point. You can only lead a horse to water. Not that I'm calling these people horses, but you know,
No, but
it's a perfect metaphor because even in the stage of 35 to 50 or 65, however long, I mean, menopause is longer than people realize. Not everybody is ready to even try the smallest shift. And that blows my mind. Ooh, that was my intent. That blows my mind. What do you say about that?
Oh, there's lots of reasons for sure. That's the sentence that you said, you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make them drink. That's instantly what came to mind when you said, you know, I've offered these things and they won't do that. But there's so many reasons. And this comes into two pillars that I myself believe in so deeply and teach to as many people as possible. It's self-belief and self-worth. So if you're not willing to invest in yourself, it's because you deeply believe you can't or it's not going to be worth it. That's the belief aspect, self-belief. Or you don't believe you're worthy of actually doing that kind of change. Now, no one thinks that logically. It's not in the front of the mind. Oh my gosh, I'm not worthy enough to pour into in that way. No one's logically thinking that. Some are. I shouldn't say that. Most people, it's unconscious versus conscious, but there are some people that are in a very detrimental thought process and doom loop where that is conscious, and that's a whole nother level. But unconsciously, it's I don't feel worthy of taking the time for myself because I gain worth from external things. I gain worth from being busy, from being everything for everyone, from again, insert thing here, instead of the internal worth. So, a huge component of building self-worth, the feelings of what we believe ourselves worthy of and worthy of receiving and worthy of achieving, is investing in yourself. It's a huge component of it. And even just you listening to this podcast right now, this is you taking a moment to invest in yourself. It doesn't have to look like this big, elaborate thing. Yes, if you have the monetary capabilities to invest in coaches, mentors, therapists, whatever it is that you need, that's amazing. Do that. But we can also do it on a day-to-day where it's small, intentional things like the shower, like this podcast, where we're investing in ourselves. And that can help build self-worth. Definitely. I'll keep talking about self-belief now. Self-belief is the ability or the belief in what you're capable of externally. Self-worth is internal. Self-belief is self-efficacy, what you believe you're capable of achieving externally. So if they don't believe that they can do it or achieve it, they're not even going to try if they have low self-belief. So there's two things that could be at play there. And if you have low self-belief and low self-worth, you actually can't help but fall into a category, an archetype that is victim mindset.
And that's, I mean, where I specialize is working with Gen X, hormonal, neurodivergent Gen X women. And this
Love
is where a
that.
lot of them fall, is in both of this category. And you don't realize the uphill battle. And a lot more people are neurodivergent than we realize, right?
Absolutely, right? It's a
Right?
spectrum.
It's a spectrum. And
We're
I mean,
all on
I
it somewhere.
we're Well, that's the thing. I mean, when I put two and two together this summer, I don't need a formal diagnosis based on the research I've done. When I put two and two together this summer, it all makes sense. From going back to elementary school, it was like, wow, would I have had a different trajectory if I had been diagnosed? But that wasn't my journey. That wasn't where I'm at. So those people have a higher level of anxiety. Those people have a lower level of dopamine, so they're always searching for it. Those people are going to have a greater impact when it comes to the self-belief and the self-worth category. And it goes back to what you said, Amy, earlier about having a non-dated planner. There is no judgment, right? There is no, it's learning. For some people, they won't do a habit tracker because they're worried about not being consistent. What if you learn where you're at right now and then do one more thing on one more day, and that's growth. So if again, if you're listening to this, even if you decided to listen to a podcast after your call with a girlfriend when you're on a walk and you just don't want to move things around and this came across, this is a form of self-help. And a lot of people couple the things, dishes, housework, podcasts. Most people don't sit there and listen, maybe on YouTube. I don't know. But if they're
No, I
watching,
think most people multitask. I
right?
multitask while I'm
I
learning.
multitask. Yeah.
While I was getting ready this morning and going for a little walk and then getting ready to start my day, I have a full front-facing day. I listen to the guys' podcast. I always listen to the NLU, Next Level University podcast to stay connected to the guys every day. And then I was listening to Brené Brown's new book. So that's what I did while I was multitasking, getting ready. And now I can check that off my
Off your
habit
list.
tracker of learning and pouring into myself in that way. And so NLU is our foundational through line that everyone knows us for, is teaching people consistency for the sake of habits every day that are sustainable. most people cannot do habits every day because they're going from 0 to 10 instead of from 0 to 1. So habit tracking in a sustainable way for the sake of consistency, for the sake of leveraging the compound effect, which is how we build a solid foundation to grow upon, is like what we do. The second you come into group coaching, you have a habit tracker handed to you, and it's okay, how can we show you that on the days you're getting zero, or if you're getting zeros consistently, it's not about, okay, you're a failure, you suck. No, it's data. It's telling us that whatever you have chosen to do for your habit is not sustainable yet for the lifestyle and the daily obligations that you have. And so giving yourself permission to start small, sustainably, it takes humility to be able to do that. And build and actually track and be consistent is really, really important. So we have a planner, it's called the Dreamliner, and it's all about goals, reverse engineering your goals
Oh, I
into
do
daily
that at the front.
habits, right? Reverse engineering your goals into daily habits. And one of my contributions to this creation was it can't have dates. That was one of mine. Don't put dates in there.
Don't put dates in
And
there.
Alan is a computer engineer, business major, math thinker. His first layer of thinking is math. It's unbelievable to see and to tap into this genius man's brain. And he was like, but it should have dates. I was like, oh my gosh, man, let me bring you into the average person's brain.
Yep. The average
Because he,
mom's brain, the average woman's
yeah.
brain, maybe not the average man's brain. Like
Yes.
if you're, I don't know what type, but if you're like more rigid and you're like very little sense of humor, there's a personality type that goes with this. I'm just gapping right now. And there's nothing wrong with who you are, you know, your routine, you're structured, but you can imagine a planner without a date. You know, we're the type of people, Amy, I would love for you to chime in here. I would love buying planner after planner after planner until I found one. And I have a box full of planners that I've not used. Because, you know, as much as I like this, I'm like, well, maybe I should add more. Maybe I should do it differently.
Yeah.
And back to the habit tracker thing. So I offer a toolkit for people. It's a free download. It comes with gratitudes, affirmations, and a habit tracker. And what I refer to people is when I go back and think of 5 years ago, let's say, maybe it was even longer than that, it could have been pre-COVID, I noticed that I would have no problems doing my reflections, which was pulling an oracle card or any kind of card and writing about it. So just reflecting, but I would not journal. I had a hard time journaling. So then I did the habit stacking. And then I tried to tell myself, well, technically this is journaling. And I'm like, no, that's not what I wanted to journal about. So if I let that be my excuse, then that's my excuse. Right. And again, something to keep in mind. But there was always a gap with me journaling. And today I don't go a day without it. So like you might, I have a morning routine where I meditate first and then I journal. And like I do the reflections and journal all in one now. And then I do my Bible app. It's been a couple of years, but it's been grounding and I love it. And I can't believe I say it. And it, like it's evolved from I can't believe I say it to like I get excited when I talk about it. It's what I need right now in this season of my life. And don't be afraid of owning. And Brené Brown's really, really good at this. And so is Mel Robbins. Don't be afraid of owning where you're at.
Yes, and making the pivots necessary and allowing it to be okay that maybe you're letting things go that have been a staple for you or have been a part of your identity. That's the hardest part. When we start shifting and evolving into new things, even me going from creating a women's group coaching program called the Peaceful Period Project to partnering with a couple of guys dedicated to just serving the world in this way, it was an evolution, even when I gave up my RMT. My background is in anatomy and physiology, registered massage therapy. And even just giving up those three letters of my name and progressing into that and what that meant, I had to let that go, allowing it to be like, okay, I still have the knowledge, even though the letters aren't there. And maybe I felt like I was losing credibility because at that point I was speaking on stages about physical health and wellness. And It's you can look at it two ways. Is it a failure? Did I quit a bunch of things, or did each thing feed the other and evolve? And some things I had to let go of, and some things I had to adapt and embody to grow into this next stage of evolution. But I've had to talk this out with, like, especially Alan. He's my mentor. He's just I'm so just oh my gosh, so privileged and grateful to have access to this man's brain. I said one day, I said, you know what? I had this moment where I felt like a quitter for a bit. He's like, Amy, you're the least quit person I know, next to Kevin and Amelia, his gal. And I was like, okay, thank you. Because I had this moment where I was like, have I quit everything I have done? He's like, no, because everything you've done still, you still talk about. It's still a through line of everything you do. You just have evolved into this space. So it used to be Amy Lenius hormones, Amy Lenius periods, Amy Lenius public speaker on women's health, hormones, natural wellness. And I had to reinvent myself a little bit to be seen as credible in this space of holistic self-improvement. All of it, health, wealth, life, quality, sorry, love, quality of life. All of those things matter for whatever your version of success is. And I've just become a person who has the knowledge to help you tap into all of those, not just your cyclical nature as a woman. And so it is an evolution, and it is, I don't know, it's not quitting. It's just things I had to let go of to be able to evolve into this next stage. And I can see now, again, hindsight's always 20/20. So we have to trust that sometimes. We can look back and say, okay, this happened because of this. This belief is here because of this. But when you're in it, it can be very challenging. So it's really important to always draw back on, okay, last time I was in a similar situation, what's the most recent relevant proof I have to get me through this next one?
I can still relate. So, and I hate to bring up COVID, but of course COVID came and I was a certified personal trainer. I had a fitness studio. I was making 5 grand a month with clients and everything got shut down all of a sudden. And then throughout the process of being a trainer, I also became a certified healthy eating and weight loss coach. So there was two of the things I wanted to do. So now it's COVID, it's quiet. I finished my NLP and my life coaching. I got my life coaching first and then my NLP. And since then, I have dropped my payments to personal training and my payments to the nutrition coaching. But I haven't stopped. And it made me stop and think, am I giving up on this? Am I giving up on a good thing? But it stopped becoming a good thing, right? And I still talk about it. I can still help it. I still like talking about nutrition. Actually, my next book is a fat loss book, the one I'm working on right now. And I'm feeling called to do it. So it feels right to me. But like you, it's more of a holistic, it's more mindfulness. It's more intentional. It's more owning who you are. Like I said, the other book I did, the books, the planners, it's more owning your life, designing your life. It's not just moving your body and what you put in your body. However, if you don't move your body and if you don't pay attention to what you put in your body, you can't design your life. Period. Because life's gonna throw shit at you, and I'm saying this, but I guess it's my show. Life's gonna throw crap at you, shit at you, whatever, and least when you least expect it. And it makes you question everything. Everything. From your relationships to your job choices to your client base or non-client base. Maybe you're not getting clients right now. Maybe you're listening to this because you want to improve yourself because you're not getting clients right now. And that's okay too. You're being primed for what's next. But you don't see it in the moment. All you see in the moment really is the person treading water. All you see in the moment is coming up for air. And treading for water and coming up for air and treading for water. But eventually, you're able to tread higher and higher and higher and get yourself out. When you look back, you will realize it all happened for a reason, that you were growing. In the process, unfortunately, could take 3 months, 3 years. We just don't know because we might think we're ready and then something else happens. Right? We're not ready. We're meant to stay contained when something else happens. And having that level of self-belief and self-worth, like you talk about, having that holistic perspective, my daughter had to remind me the other day. I know better. I've been binge eating. I've been really badly binge eating. Like, you bring me chocolate and jelly beans. Mom brought me a bag of chocolate yesterday. They're gone. A, I'm aware. I'm very aware of what I'm doing. I feel guilty. But my daughter reminded me the other day, and I know better. I have three daughters. She goes, "You're not going to ruin what you're doing. Or you're not a bad person because you're binge eating. You know, you can binge eat for a couple of days, but even a week or two, but it's not in the collective of a year who you are and what you're doing and what you're achieving. And it's okay." And first of all, it is really cool to be reminded of something that you coach from your own kids,
Yes.
right? Right? It's like, wow, are they listening? Are they following this stuff? And she's like, even throughout the day, you're not eating just chocolate. I mean, I probably would if I could, but I couldn't get enough because there's no nutrients,
Yeah.
right? So then we need the other food. We do need to honor that time. We want to rush through it. We want to get out of it. We want to get out of the pool. There's
Yeah.
probably a different analogy, but you know, we want to rush it because it's not comfortable. But it's in that space of discomfort where we have the courage to grow.
Oh, I would argue that's the only place we can grow. Yep. Absolutely. And people, humans in general, have a tendency to underestimate what they can do over a long period of time. We overestimate what we can do in a day. And
Yeah, don't we though?
we put too much sometimes emphasis on what we have done or do in a day. How often do you start the day with a 10 list, 10 item list of, okay, I'm going to get all this done today. And then your day goes off the rails, as all days do, because there's so many variables. Children, again, children, pets, household, family members, someone's coming in doing something. And so then you're only getting three things done and looking at it like, well, shit, I suck. No. It's just the way that it works. Again, you made the list and you might have done less be if you hadn't made the list. There's just so many variables that need to be factored in. But again, learning to dive into what you can control versus what you can't, but also time perspective, especially now, everything's instant gratification. It's all social media. Look at the results this person got a week. In a week, you're like, no, they didn't. You didn't see the 3 years leading up to that, and now they're highlighting it on this week-long thing on Instagram because it's
Know.
exciting and it's
It's
going to get them
exactly what
clicks,
I
it's going to
say.
get them followers. It's unbelievable. It's like, oh, have my arms if you do this every day for 10 days. No, you won't.
Right? It's like we know better.
No, you
No, you
won't.
won't.
Lots
Stop
of people
believing
don't
lies.
know. We've lost that skill to discern what is real and what isn't, and it is harming us mentally, emotionally,
I
even
like that.
physically. And so the time perspective is, so people ask me all the time, well, what was the one thing that you were able to do to become pain-free from endometriosis, which is something you apparently can't become pain-free from? It was unsexy fundamentals for a decade.
A
It wasn't
decade.
one thing. It
Yeah.
wasn't 1 week of one thing. It was me compounding the next thing, the next thing, the next thing, the next thing over a decade. Now, I had incredible wins and hit incredible milestones on that decade, which obviously kept me going. But we constantly underestimate what we can do with time. And we underestimate how long things actually take to be foundationally strong and successful. And if you can give yourself back the gift of time perspective, you are winning and are ahead of most people right now.
Well, and I again, I absolutely love that. So, first of all, I have a lot of people drop in too. It doesn't matter how old your kids are or your pets. You guys heard my dog in here. I don't edit. I didn't tell you the same. I don't edit. I just,
No.
you're getting the real version of me, which is interesting. I'm gonna play something out here. I've had my family, my daughters and my mom, who are not my demographic, make a comment recently how they cannot watch my lives because it's not me. They're like, "You don't sound like you. You seem a little bit different." And I'm like, "But give me some examples so I can work on that or so I can look at that differently." They're like, "Go back and rewatch it." But I don't know what I'm watching. I thought maybe the older videos and I was just nervous. Okay, so no feedback, no specific feedback that I can work on. From my audience, I get told, that I am speaking directly to them. I am
Yes.
in their heads. I am on the same, like, they're like, how do you know? So again, the discernment to know the difference. You know, I can sit here and feel criticized, which is easy to feel from the ones you loved. But at the end of the day, if you are my demographic, great, help me open my eyes. But you're not, so I don't know how to take it. You know what I mean? And that wasn't what I was going to say. I too am going through an invisible chronic illness. I have inflamed nerves in my head, front, or sorry, occipital and trigeminal neuralgia. It has turned my life upside down in the last 3 years. And I thought I was not coming out of it, but I'm to the point where I'm managing it, right? And that is a step. Do I think I'll be cured or things will be different or things will be free? I don't know. You know, I really don't know, but it's not, yes, some days it stops me. You had a decade of this. Some days it stops me. Some days it slows me down. Some days I'm like, are you kidding me? Like, give me my journal and let me cry kind of deal. But, and chocolate, I guess, ice cream, brownies, you know, like, and there's nothing wrong with that. You know, there's people with fibro. There, I've got to speak to a new fibro group. I've made different connections. You know, I'm really hoping I can be a little bit more of an advocate because getting needles in your head sucks. And people don't get it when they can't see it. And you know, it's easy to be, and this goes for the neurodivergent, it's easy to be considered or called lazy. You know, but if I had a broken foot, I'd have to lay there and elevate it and rest it. It just so happens to be in my head, so the only way I can rest it is by lying down. Right? So my mom came with me on the 20th. So was that only last week? Feels like forever ago. For needles. My oldest daughter's been the one coming with me, and my mom came this time. I've been getting them since March, February, March, and 10 needles went in my head as I was holding my mom's fingers, and I was bawling hysterically, and I was watching my mom shake with tears in her eyes. And yet we're here, you know, sharing what we know. And yeah, there's tears, and that's okay. This is raw and real, and you might be feeling the same way, or you might feel connected, or but the point is, you've survived your decade. I'm still here surviving mine, and I'm going through it.
And
So,
there's still things that I have to do every day to this day to keep the progress that I have. And I thank you for sharing that. I resonate with that so deeply. I used to say to my family, God, I wish I had a tattoo stamped across my forehead that says, Remember, I don't feel good. Remember, I'm in pain. Because you can't see it because I'm just dealing with it. I'm suppressing it. I'm dealing with it. I don't feel good. I'm very uncomfortable, but I'm not going to miss out on my life. So here I am showing up to all of these things, not feeling my best. But yet there's still more expected of you and more wanted out of you. And I just wanted to be like, remember.
I can't. I hate saying no. Even last night I had to cancel my plans. It would have been cute out in Port Stanley and so by the water, but it was really cold. My face would have been really swelled up. I'm gonna hopefully take my grandson today and go to the Christmas event. It's like 15, 20 minutes away and it should be a lot of fun.
Amazing.
So yeah, and we have to make, so for me, I've made a choice as to I've gotten used to the word that I'm undependable, unreliable, can't count on. And it's hard. I don't believe those words, but if it makes other people feel better to say them, then go ahead. Somehow we turned this podcast on its head and got all sad, but the whole point is we're all going through something. We're like, it sounds to me like you're trying to manage. Still, you're in a management stage with, yeah.
Yeah, because it doesn't go away. Can't get rid of it.
Right.
I can maintain it. I can manage it.
So after 3 years, my neurologist said to me, yeah, you're in management. Like it's not going away. You've got to learn to live with it. And it's been fun. Not so much. But I have educated people on the spoon theory. Have you heard of it? Yes. That's helped a little bit. I've done some speaking into some other groups that have other illnesses as well. I just don't fit into a group. That's all. Right? You probably don't fit into a group either, do you?
Yeah, there's a lot of endometriosis groups and things. I struggle. I do. I'm going to be honest. I struggle to go in there because I am someone who's coming in with high self-belief and belief in my capabilities to make change. And when you speak to people from a space of high self-belief into a group of people with low self-belief, it's a disconnect right away because they want you to feed into their victimness. And I
Yes.
say that with love. I
Yes.
genuinely do. If you are stuck in a victim state, it is very hard to hear that you can do things to get better. And it's hard because you'll go into those spaces and offer advice and offer what you would think would be signs of hope, and you get villainized and get kicked out. Trust me.
Yeah. And that's, I mean, I don't do the Facebook groups for long. I might pick an idea out if I'm really sore, but I've been delivering my workshops, like healthy eating on a budget, for instance, to the fibro community. And that's been great because I'm educating them on what is possible and that will help them. You know what I mean? So, yes, I know what you're saying. It is very easy to be pulled into victimhood because we're already feeling it on the days that we're on the couch. We're
Yes,
already
very
kind
much
of,
so.
right? Like it's already our storyline that we need to pull ourselves out of.
Yes.
Listen, I am being very mindful of the time, Amy. Let's get ready to close this up. What is left for you to share with our audience?
Again, I think just through lines of questions of what do I need in this moment?
I love that.
Am I doing all I can with all I have? And am I honoring the days that I don't have a lot of capacity? There are days where the all that you have part is very minimal. And then there's days where the all you have part is very abundant. Those are your leverage days. But what do you need to be doing every day that is small? That you can do on the down days and the high days.
Yeah, and fun. I have to throw the fun factor in there. Fun is very important to me. Not
It is.
everybody craves and needs fun. I do. And probably again, people that are on the neurodivergent, well, not probably everybody that's on the neurodivergent spectrum, you're looking for that fun. You're looking for that happiness, that high, that dopamine. And so even my AquaFit classes that I've been going to, there's a couple instructors that are more fun than others. And it's like, where's my, at this point, it's not just AquaFit. Where do I want to go and have fun for that hour?
Yes.
It makes a difference. I still haven't figured out if AquaFit is a help or a hindrance. The bouncing that I like
Yeah.
it. And I like, but you know what? I'm playing with it, maybe the shallow end, but and that's the thing. This is what we have to do. We have to
Yes.
massage what works and what doesn't work. And just because we're talking, somehow we've landed on a spot in chronic illness, it does apply for everybody when you're talking about your bandwidth. You know, if you're working full time and you've got three kids at home, don't expect to be going to dinner parties. You're lucky to do laundry,
That's right. It's not the
right?
season right now for that
Yeah.
if you're just trying to keep your head above water, like you said.
Yeah.
And to constantly remain curious and exploring what can be done next. You're exploring right now the idea of AquaFit. Does it work? Does it not work? You don't know yet, but you are going to know regardless of the outcome. And that is important. It's so important to know what works for you and what doesn't. And you can only do that through trial and error.
Yeah, and again, that's something that not everybody understands,
Yeah.
right? I've had a comment from a dear friend of mine. She said you should probably stop being on social media for a little bit and doing things for a little bit. And it's like, but I can do this.
Yes.
And it gives me something to do. And honestly, if people can't understand that we're good for an hour and then we're on the couch, we're still good for an hour.
That's right. You
What
showed up
we
for an
choose,
hour.
we showed up. We don't want to not show. I know this is bugging me. This has been bugging me all day. You know why, ladies and gentlemen? For those that are seeing, I'm fiddling with my hair, but I literally had a shower 10 minutes before the show started. So I'm lucky my hair is all dry now. But this one piece I've been fiddling with. And that's why. Amy, I want to thank you so much for being on the show. This was a great experience. We're going to have all of your contact information summarized and put in the show notes. I will definitely send you everything on that. What else was I going to send you? The links to the episodes of the episode, whether it's virtual. This is when I know that I'm getting done. I'm tripping my words, video or audio. And I want to give you a big fat virtual hug. I don't normally do this, but I feel aligned. I think we could talk for another hour, but you're going to be late for your meeting. So, girls, thank you so much.
Thank you. I appreciate this conversation. If you ever want to have another one, just reach out.
I appreciate it. Bye, guys.